Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Move strike. The jury will disregard the last statement by the witness.
Did you receive, well, let me ask the question this way. At this point in your care of Maya Kowalski, did you have any records from outside treatment?
Not at this time, no.
Did you, for example, have Dr. Hammond's records?
No, we did not.
Did you have any records from Dr. Kirkpatrick or any of the other physicians she had seen in the preceding year?
No.
So you were you basically attempting to gather information about what you were dealing with?
Yes.
And in the ordinary course of your practice, do you typically attempt to gather that information from physicians who have referred a patient to you?
Yeah, that is our typical practice, that we like to have information so we know what studies the patients have had, what conditions they've been diagnosed with, what medications they're on. Having that information is vital to our appropriate treatment of patients.
Okay. Did you... Was it your understanding that Dr. Hanna had referred the patient back to All Children's Hospital?
Yes.
And in the process of doing so, did he pass along to you what his treatment had consisted of?
Yes, he did.
And what did you understand?
That he had administered ketamine at large doses, as well as doses of another medicine called midazolam or benzodiazepine, another sedative, as well as clonidine.
And how did that information impact the care that you folks were trying to formulate for this patient?
Well, the care, that again, we wanted to be ultra-conservative and make sure that again, our ultimate goal was to keep Maya safe and make sure that nothing untoward happened to her. And I shared that with Mr. Kowalski also on that day, and our goal was really to get her basically safely through a period where we had some unknowns, and just wanted to be conservative and make sure that nothing untoward happened to her.
Okay. Did you participate in a meeting among the Kowalskis, the intensivist team and the pain management team regarding the plan of care and the outlook, so to speak, for how Maya Kowalski's care would be managed?
I think at multiple times we presented kind of a multidisciplinary focus to help take care of Maya, whether it was in the room. I believe we did have a conference one day as well. But as is my usual practice, I'm very transparent and share thoughts and ideas in a collaborative effort with the family.
And did you have an opportunity to discuss Maya's condition and status and plan of care with both Mr. and Mrs. Kowalski?
Yes, on the 10th it was just Mr. Kowalski, and then I believe on the 11th I met Mrs. Kowalski.
Okay. As best you can, Doctor, could you describe to us what that conversation consisted of in terms of what recommendations you made, what Mrs. Kowalski wanted to do, and what the ultimate decision was?
Yeah, I will do my best. Mrs. Kowalski tended to demand more interventions, more aggressive of things such as higher doses than what we were giving, potential for intubation in light of giving those higher medications, meaning putting a breathing tube in to safely give higher doses of medicine, as well as requesting things such as implantable pain pumps to help manage pain. And I attempted to share with them some of the evidence for those things and why they probably weren't in the best interest of Maya at that time.
Okay. Let me ask you about two of those issues specifically. You mentioned the question of intubation of the patient. Why would that have been suggested, and why was it a good, bad, or indifferent idea?
I believe the context was around giving her more ketamine and more medicines, just basically to put her to sleep, to get her out of pain. And in order to do that, you have to support breathing, because the higher doses of medicines can affect your breathing, and they can affect potentially affect your heart function. So those would require potentially require that to support the heart and lungs. So it's just not appropriate for, you know, CRPS to put the patient in a medically induced coma. That's not the appropriate treatment.
Okay. Did you have an opinion at that time that you shared with them regarding whether or not it would be in Maya's interest to dose her with higher doses of ketamine, such as Dr. Hanna was contemplating, and intubate her to do so?
Yeah, no, we did not recommend that, and we're not going to offer that, and we made that clear at that time.
Okay, and why was that? Why did you not offer that?
Because it's one, there's no evidence to support that, and the standard of care does not change.
Objection, move to strike.
Overruled on that one.
It's not safe to do that.
You mentioned there was no evidence to support that. What do you mean by that?
Well, as I shared, the standard of care for pediatric CRPS is really functional restoration, meaning that you engage the patient in the endeavors of physical therapy, occupational therapy, and cognitive behavioral therapy. The medicines are really used to facilitate those things, not for anything else.
And what are the dangers of intubation?
Dangers of intubation, one, sometimes it can be difficult to place that breathing tube. Two, it puts you at risk for other things such as infections, pneumonia. Patients, in order to tolerate that breathing tube, require additional medications and things that put them at risk for things, changes in their blood pressure, changes in the beating of their heart, and other things.
Okay. Well, what are the medications does a patient have to be given to tolerate intubation?
It is variable depending on patient. These can include higher doses of sedatives, or at times sometimes we have to give medicines to relax their muscles so they don't move their muscles to
basically paralyze?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Now, there was a mention made of an intrathecal pain pump. Tell us what that is and what your recommendation regarding it was.
Sure. Intrathecal pain pumps are devices that are usually placed in patients, not very often in children, who are on such high doses of medicines that they can, some of these medicines can be given around the spine so that they work more efficiently and can have lower doses. But these also entail significant risks. And at this particular, I believe Mrs. Clausey was asking for clonidine, intrathecal clonidine pump. And those are not indicated for pediatric CRPS. And they also require basically a tube goes from the back in the spine around to an implanted pump that goes in the belly that has a motor and delivers medicine. And placing those things and maintaining those are not without risk, including appropriate dosing of medicine. You can also get significant infectious risk, especially in patients who such as Maya, who may have immunocompromise or have be undernourished. Those things would be contraindications to potentially doing that. They require a needle to fill them, and require to be filled every depending on the dose and things, 1 to 3 months. It's not an endeavor to be taken lightly, and it's usually not used for pediatric CRPS.
Now, after your discussion with the Kowalskis let me ask this. During your discussion with Kowalskis on or about October 11th, did you talk to them about all of this?
I did share with them my thoughts on the intrathecal pump. I believe with Mr. Kowalski specifically on the 10th, as well as I believe the next day with Mrs. Kowalski, and shared with them my thoughts. And the team from the week before and the weekend had kind of put the path forward, and we agreed to continue on that, meaning a slow wean of the medicines, to get her progressively reduced to eventually medicines by mouth.
Okay. And was there agreement to proceed in that regard?
Yes, we made shared decision-making regarding that.
Were you ever aware of the Kowalskis wishing to leave the hospital against medical advice?
I don't recall specifically. I know that we talked about moving forward with attempting to, my goal at that time was to get her on medicines by mouth so that we could get her to a place that had a CRPS program at the time.
Okay, and was there, in fact, discussion of transferring her to another institution such as Nemours?
Yeah, I believe those discussions happened on the weekend and tail ended into my tenure on service on that Monday, yes.
Okay. And were you ever aware of any indication that the Kowalskis wanted to leave against medical advice after your discussions with them?
No.
Were you involved in any direct communications with Nemours or their folks regarding a transfer there?
No.
Why would there be any interest in transferring to Nemours?
Nemours has an outpatient chronic pain program that they had at that time and still have today.
Okay. Now, at this point when you were having these discussions, what was your working diagnosis with respect to this child?
So at this point, my working diagnosis was CRPS.
And was there a point at which you subsequently came to question that diagnosis?
Well, later on, as we were able to get off some of the medications and do a more proper evaluation, definitely came to question that diagnosis, yes.
Okay, and on what basis did you question it?
Well, there were a lot of inconsistencies in the symptoms that were reported and things that were observed on behalf of Maya.
And what do you have? What are you referring to specifically?
So, in particular, there would be, you know, times where she would.
Objection, Your Honor. Is this by hearsay or is this by medical record? Objection.
Ask for his knowledge.
Yeah, can we just do legal bases overruled
based on hearsay?
My direct observations at times to see some of these things. Maya complained of what we call allodynia, or light touch to her legs, and couldn't tolerate things on there at times. At other times, she would have skinny jeans very tight on her legs, which was very inconsistent and incongruent with allodynia, would be one example of those things. Or have there would be times where I would see Maya with anklets on her ankles. But if someone would attempt to touch her leg lightly, then she would complain of pain. Just very much inconsistent with the diagnosis of CRPS.
And tell us, if you would, what dates that you were taking care of Maya Kowalski during this time?
You know, it would be hard to believe that we go on and off service over the course, so it would be time periods, probably weeks at a time. I believe maybe three other weeks that I might have, okay. Two or three other weeks that I might have been on service.
That was a lousy question. Let me try it again. During this particular first engagement with her,
yes,
you've told us you came on October 10th. When would you have gone off service with her?
It would have been the end of that week, usually, probably. So probably the end of that, whatever that Friday is, the 14th, I believe.
Okay. And do you, well, was the pain service successful in weaning Maya off of her medications during that week?
Pretty much so. We were able to, if I recall correctly, able to wean her off, if not then, shortly thereafter, okay. The IV medicines.
Okay. And were you subsequently involved in Maya's care after this?
Yes, there were periods when I was back on service as the pain doctor, as well as occasionally we cover if someone is on call at night and they're the pain doctor. If they're usually off the next day, I sometimes you may see a note for me in there because I covered for that day.
Okay. But during the period that you were initially taking care of her, were you able to make her comfortable with the weaning program that was followed?
Yes, and I worked with her parents as well, and we had continued, as you can see in my notes, agreement on the plan and closed that loop with them.
I have no further questions at this time. Thank you.
Mr. Anderson.
May I please record?
Glasses. I won't use them, but they're
in point of fact, Doctor, at the time that you first saw Maya Kowalski, you had records from Dr. Kirkpatrick in evidence at 1005-10016-18.
I would have to, I don't, I, may I see those?
May I approach you? I've got the list from
I have never seen this document.
Well, your records show that it was in the Johns Hopkins records. Did you go back and actually look at all of the treatments and visits and consultations that had gone on with this child by Johns Hopkins beginning on July 7th of 2015?
Objection, lack of foundation, Your Honor. He said he's never seen the gun.
Do I need to respond? I'm asking him whether he went back and looked, and then I'm asking him whether he knows when it began.
I just sustained the question that you actually asked. That's all I've done.
All right. Did you look at any of the records preceding the October 7th, 2016 visit?
My routine practice is to look at the records that I have available to me and look at what I have, yes.
So is that a yes or a no?
Yes, I look at the records that I had available to me.
All right. So then those would include Dr. Kirkpatrick's records forwarded to you all after his September 23rd, 2015 consultation?
Objection.
Did you see that?
I have not seen this record, sir.
Okay. The Sarasota Memorial Hospital record from June 15th, 2015.
Same objection, or lack of foundation.
He hasn't answered the question on this one.
This page is hard for me too.
Well, it's a fax, is it not? From August 26, 2015 to all children's?
It looks like it is. I have not seen that document.
I haven't seen those. All right. All children's, let's see, the Loyola University Medical Center from the 7, let's see, this would be from 2006 to 2011. And that is at 1005-0024 to 0046. Do you see those?
Lack of foundation.
I have not seen this document before.
Did you note any of the visits to Dr. Kreisman?
I did see some notes from Dr. Kreisman, yes.
You saw Dr. Kreisman saw Maya approximately 2 months before she went to Mexico for the medical infusions there, right?
I believe I recall that, yes. Mm-hmm.
And then you saw, I'm assuming, the visit after that, approximately 4 months later, 5 months later, excuse me, in May of 2016. Did you not?
I cannot specifically comment. I looked at a lot of records, whether I actually saw that specifically, but I looked at a lot of records, yes.
And this was the one where, for instance, he said, this is a new child. She's happy. She appears in no pain. I can put it up if you like.
I do recall that.
Well, what other records? Did you look at Dr. Jackman's endocrinology records?
I believe I saw some of Dr. Jackman's records, yes.
Did you read the records regarding Johns Hopkins putting in the port for the infusions of ketamine?
I believe I read that, yes.
Did you read the records for Johns Hopkins putting in the PIC line prior to that for the use of ketamine infusion?
I believe I saw that.
And did you then look at any of the notes from the endocrinologist and the prescriptions for Maya's lesions?
I believe I saw that at some point saw those, yes.
And so then did you review then the brain scan, the MRI, in January 22nd, 2016, ordered by Dr. Jackman?
I don't know if I saw that one, but I saw several MRI. I know I saw another one, I believe.
I think you just said he didn't see it.
This one I don't believe.
And the Lurie Children's Hospital records?
I did see those, yes.
All right. And then the Tampa General Hospital records?
I have seen those as well.
Okay. And Dr. Wassenauer, the treating pediatrician's records?
I don't think I've seen many of his records.
Were you aware that there was a treating, that is an attending pediatrician for Maya Kowalski?
Yes, I was.
Did you have any discussions with him about the overall benefits of the protocol that Maya Kowalski was on prior to your intervention?
I did not.
So now, you are, as you sit here today, though, aware that Johns Hopkins told the Kowalskis on or about the 9th of October 2016 that they would not be able to leave, and if they did, security would be called. You're aware of that now, are you not?
I am aware of that, that's what they believe was said, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so you yourself then decided at some point to change the entire program that Maya Kowalski was on over to the Johns Hopkins program. Is that right?
No.
Did you not decide unilaterally to take Maya Kowalski off of any ketamine, off of the medicines prescribed by Dr. Hanna and before that Dr. Kirkpatrick and before that Dr. Cantu?
My priority was the safety of Maya, and I expressed that with her parents.
I understand. And by safety you mean, was she displaying any signs of physical harm, right?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, when you say her safety, you're not talking about her safety in the next 20 years or 10 years or 15 years. You're talking about her immediate safety, are you not?
We were talking about the amount of medicines that she was getting and potential for withdrawal or complications from those.
I see. And so it is true, is it not, that ketamine has limited, if any, withdrawal symptoms?
Ketamine can be associated with withdrawal. It is limited compared to some of the other medicines, but you can have some withdrawal. But our other concern was with some of the other medicines that she was getting.
The fact is that there are no studies outside of those that involve street ketamine that show any physiological withdrawal symptoms from ketamine.
Objection, problem, feature.
Sustained.
Are you aware of any data indicating
the data that is out there?
I will withdraw on that one. So now, you are worried then, I guess, when Maya came in about her health. And so, what steps did you take to ascertain whether she actually was having any negative responses to the program that was already in place?
So, I was not on service when she first came in. We continued the plan that was in place. So I'm not sure what your question is then otherwise.
Sure. If Maya was going to have some problems from the dosing of the medications, most likely it would be in the liver, would it not?
Ketamine can cause several things. It can cause neuropsychiatric problems. It can cause problems with the kidney and the bladder, as well as with liver.
Did you or did you not do any blood work on Maya Kowalski?
I did not personally order blood work.
Did you ever review any blood work
Yes.
on Maya Kowalski over the course of the first 2 weeks?
Yes, sir.
And her blood work came back all within normal range, did it not?
I believe so, yes.
So your concern then was for the future. How long had Maya been on the regimen that you took her off of? Or maybe not you, but Johns Hopkins took her off of.
It looks like that she had received approximately 50-some treatments prior to us.
All right. And over that 50-some treatments, she had never once complained, at least in the medical records, about any withdrawal symptoms. Is that true?
I don't recall that, yes.
From the history that you took, did anybody ever say on the various intervals between ketamine treatments that Maya Kowalski complained of anything like withdrawal symptoms?
Well, if you look at the presentation that she came with, agitation, she had nausea, she had anorexia, as well as motor disturbances, all can be related to ketamine, as well as potential for some of the other medicines that she was getting led to potential the significant constipation that she had.
What she had was a condition known as gastroparesis. True?
I did not see that documented.
Mm-hmm. Gastroparesis is, well, explain to the jury what gastroparesis is.
So gastroparesis is where the motility of your stomach is decreased.
And it can manifest in a number of different ways, isn't this true?
It can, certainly.
Yeah. And one of those ways is what? By nausea?
It certainly can.
And constipation is a constant one.
Gastroparesis has nothing to do with constipation.
And general unrest there? In the gut, that is.
I'm not sure I understand what you mean by that.
Well, the point being, if you are familiar with CRPS and its diagnosis, you are aware that gastroparesis is one of the complications of CRPS.
Objection, Foundation, Your Honor.
Overruled. Let me answer that.
There is no association in pediatric CRPS with gastroparesis.
Let's just say maybe not pediatric, but in CRPS, the disease, gastroparesis is a known complication. True?
No.
So she'd been in less than 6 days before with the identical symptoms, right?
Yes.
Okay. And at that point, nobody decided to take her off of all of the medications and admit her into the hospital. Correct?
It looks like what's happened, yes.
All right. At this time, the decision was made, I guess, to admit her and change her protocol, right?
I believe she was definitely, I wasn't there during that time. I can't comment on that.
Well, this time you can, though, and you can comment on what she was taken off of and what she was put on. Isn't that true?
I can share with you some of those things, yes.
Sure. One of the first things that she was prescribed was Haldol. True?
I believe she was given Haldol at some point, yes.
Tell the jury what Haldol is.
Haldol is a medicine that is used in various reasons, but agitation is one of those.
It's a powerful antipsychotic, is it not, doctor?
That is one of its effects.
So one of the first things that the Johns Hopkins doctors did was take Maya off the ketamine and put her on an antipsychotic. True?
That was used for refractory agitation when other things did not work.
Right. Did you put her on Haldol as you were taking her off the ketamine?
I don't know if I wrote for that specifically or not, but that was in part of the treatment plan that we discussed.
And you put her on Tramadol. True?
Tramadol was one of her home medications that we continued.
Right. That's an opioid.
It's opioid and agonist antagonist.
And when she came in, she had no opioids in her system. True?
I don't recall one way or the other.
And you put her on Ativan. What's Ativan?
Ativan was one of her home medications.
What is Ativan?
It is similar to midazolam. It's a sedative.
All right. And Valium, same thing. Those are both benzodiazepines, right?
Yes.
Okay. So whether you put them on or whether you continue on, Maya is now having had opioids and benzodiazepines, no ketamine, but Haldol. True?
Those were some of the medicines that she was on.
Okay. Now, you put her on Haldol, or I don't know if it was you, but you had a pediatric psychiatrist that was involved at this point if you're using antipsychotics, right?
We use it for agitation as well as nausea. Were there other reasons to use it besides its antipsychotic properties?
Did you prescribe, either you or someone on your team, an antipsychotic without an evaluation by a pediatric psychiatrist as to its effects?
That would not be a standard that routinely occurs.
I'm not sure I understand. Is
something for agitation, especially in the intensive care unit, we do not necessarily get psychiatry involved in that.
So the answer is yes, you put her on an antipsychotic without a pediatric psychiatrist looking at it.
Well,
right?
I believe that psychiatry was refused most of the time.
All right, and so, Dr. Katzenstein saw her, right?
She's not a psychiatrist.
Dr. Cavett was, and he saw her, right?
Eventually he saw her, yes.
Right. All right, so at the time this all started, you were on vacation.
Yes, sir.
And when you were called, you were actually in your garden. Not back, were you not?
I believe I was in my yard, yes.
Right, okay, and Dr. Dolan calls you and tells you about a dosage of this medication, of ketamine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, that sounds high, or worse to that effect.
Yes, sir.
At that point, you did not know whether it was in, and what is a bolus, by the way? What is bolus versus an IV, an infusion?
So, a bolus can be very good, but it's usually given faster than an infusion.
Okay? And so at that point, she did not describe whether or not Maya was getting all of these, the amount of medication related to you in one bolus as opposed to an infusion. True?
I don't recall the specifics that were told to me.
Well, there's a big difference, isn't there, between putting it all in at one time and an infusion over several hours?
It depends on the total dose.
And the total dose is determined by titration, is it not?
Total dose in pediatrics is based on weight.
Okay. And if you're going to infuse it, you titrate. True?
Depending on the reason.
All right. And if the reason is pain cessation, then you would titrate, would you not?
To limits, yes.
Right.
There are limits.
Okay. And in this case, who was best to determine those limits? The physicians who spent all of their time on CRPS pain patients and were actually part of foundations determined to do that, or you guys?
Well,
sustain the argument.
Well, are you a member of the RSD Foundation?
No.
And you do not specialize in CRPS, do you?
There's no specialty in CRPS.
I understand, but you have published no papers, correct?
Not yet, that's correct.
And you have not participated in any studies, correct?
That I don't recall.
You have given no talks, no lectures on CRPS?
No.
Nor have you given any particular studies or lectures on the use of ketamine to treat CRPS. True?
That's correct.
But you, Johns Hopkins, had determined that whatever was going on out there, whatever was going on with those other doctors, you guys knew better.
Judge,
true?
Overruled
on that one.
Is that true?
No.
I see. So it was a mistake? You guys were actually going to stay with what was...
We were providing evidence-based care that we were comfortable with for pediatric patients.
Do you recognize as authoritative the consensus guidelines for use of intravenous ketamine infusions in chronic pain by the American Society of Regional Anesthesia and Pain Medication?
Yes, that is a guideline. Uh-huh.
And have you reviewed any of their papers there?
I have looked at that, yes.
And would you agree with me that they're based on their papers, and I can show this to you if you'd like. There is, at volume 43, number 5, the July 2018 paper that provides significant support for the use of ketamine, large dose ketamine, to treat CRPS.
Up to 7 milligrams per kilo, yes.
Okay. Now, in terms of what the ultimate load was, the ultimate amount. Are you familiar with what a P450 enzyme is?
Yes.
Does a P450 enzyme break down ketamine?
It is part of the mechanism for which it is broken down, yes.
And is that P450 enzyme a result of the use of prednisone or others of that type?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
P450 enzyme will extended use of prednisone and other prednisones of which family again?
Steroid.
Other steroids will cause the P450 enzyme in fairly high amounts.
True? It can do both. It can either upregulate it, but it also, you don't really know. It could also downregulate that enzyme.
All right. But you did not take that into account when you were trying to determine how much, right?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Did you do any independent studies or any evaluation of where the latest literature was on the use of this type of treatment, that is, high-dose infusions of ketamine to alleviate pain in CRPS patients?
Yes, we did. We looked for literature and did reviews, yes.
Right. Your own literature, though, inside?
No.
Well, did you talk to Dr. Kirkpatrick on his papers?
I did not speak to Dr. Kirkpatrick.
Well, did you talk to Dr. Hanna on the reasons why he chose those amounts?
I spoke with Dr. Hanna, and he told me his amounts were not working.
Right, but not because they were ineffective totally, but because he had reached a limit to which he could go safely without intubation. True?
He told me they were not working.
not because ketamine doesn't work, but because he had reached a limit to do it outpatient. He's saying he did not tell you that? All right. All right, so now, in your evaluation then, and let me get this straight, does Maya Kowalski have CRPS or does she not have CRPS?
What do you mean? So if
does
you read my,
Maya Kowalski okay,
if you read my
have
notes,
a proper diagnosis of CRPS or does she not?
If you read my notes, I never rule out CRPS.
Okay.
However, it is less likely given her clinical presentation and the inconsistencies, some of which I had already shared.
Well, she certainly meets the epidemiology profile, does she not?
She has some of those traits for both of those disorders, yes.
Well, she was female, adolescent, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. She had epidemiologies. Can we pull up 2017-754? And let me ask you, Doctor, over this period of time, were you billing for CRPS?
What do you mean? You're asking for billing codes?
Well, I don't know that you need them here.
Okay.
Were you billing over this period of time for CRPS?
Yes.
Can you bring up 2017 dash?
Excuse me, Your Honor. That's a partial answer to the question, a partial question that was asked.
He wasn't. Okay.
In other words, the document speaks for itself.
Overruled. You can continue.
Thank you. 2017-762. All right. Were you billing for CRPS over this period of time?
Where are the dates on here?
I'm looking right now. Date of service, December 2nd, 2016.
So these are diagnosis codes, not billing codes?
Okay. Were you billing for complex regional pain syndrome treatment over this period of time?
I would have to see, I'm assuming so, but this is a diagnosis code.
All right. Yeah. It's all the time. Here it is.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes. Could I ask that 2067762 be left up for a moment?
That was not 2017. That was 2017. Is that what you want?
Yeah, so whatever you had up there, I thought it was.
Yeah, put that back. The billing record.
Yeah. I had 2067762, whatever
it is. There it is.
Okay. Can we put that nice little red ring around all the diagnostic codes, not just two of them? All the way down. So we've got here, the diagnosis code is chronic pain syndrome, correct?
Yes, sir.
Pain unspecified, correct?
Yep.
And then we get to chronic to complex regional pain syndrome of lower limb bilateral.
That is correct.
And then we have complex regional pain syndrome unspecified.
Yes.
Were all those codes being billed under?
Those are all diagnostic codes, yes.
Okay. Not just complex regional pain
syndrome. That is correct.
Okay. There were some questions asked about the medications that this patient, well, let me strike that and back up.
Counsel asked you about the consensus guidelines.
Yes, sir.
You indicated you're familiar with those.
Yes.
Now, when were they published?
Those consensus guidelines were published in 2018. They were not available during the time that Maya was in the hospital.
Okay. So they were published after all this?
That is correct.
Okay. And based on the evidence that was available to you folks, were you able to find any evidence that indicated that it was efficacious in the treatment of pediatric CRPS to give a patient 1,250 milligrams at 25 kilograms of weight over 2 hours?
No, we could not.
Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Never.
Is there anything?
Objection, hearsay.
Is there anything in the literature that supports this?
No.
Objection.
Sustained.
Move strike.
Court will disregard the last question and answer.
Is there evidence? Are you aware of evidence to support the idea that that level of ketamine is safe for a child?
Objection. Holstering.
Sustained.
Counsel asked you whether you had published on CRPS. Have you published on pediatric pain management?
Yes, I have, and I've been involved in talks and workshops at national meetings, all related to pediatric pain.
What is the incidence of CRPS in the pediatric population?
It is quite rare. It's approximately one child per 100,000.
So would it be reasonable to think that someone could develop a specialty in the treatment of pediatric CRPS alone?
No.
Why is that?
There's not enough cases.
The counsel was asking you about the medications that you folks, that were given to this patient when she presented to the emergency room. You weren't there.
That is correct.
Why would the patient be given Haldol and the other medications that were specified?
A lot of those, we worked in collaboration with her parents and discussed a plan, and that was all documented. We were trying to balance her comfort with agitation and weaning of the medications.
Did you go back and look at the records from her visit to our ER on October 1st of 2016?
I believe so, yes.
Did she indicate the level of agitation that she did when she presented on October 7th?
No.
Was there any indication of a chronic pain crisis on that day?
No.
Had she been referred, according to the records, by her treating CRPS doctor to All Children's on that day?
Not that I recall.
Okay. And what was the occasion for her reference to All Children's on October the 7th?
Can you clarify that question?
Well, why was she referred there?
She was referred there from Dr. Hanna, I believe.
There was reference to some medications that the patient had on at home. That included Tramadol?
Yes, sir.
In other words, had she been given Tramadol by outpatient physicians?
Yes.
Not by All Children's?
That is correct.
Had she been given Ativan by outpatient physicians?
Yes.
Is gastroparesis associated with ketamine?
Ketamine can impact multiple receptors in the body, including opioid receptors, which do have implications for slowing down gut motility. Yes.
We've been talking about the extent. Well, let me back up a minute. We talked earlier about what records you had available when you saw this patient when you came on service. Counsel showed you several records. Were any of those available to you at the time that you first saw this patient?
They were not available to me that I recall.
Okay. And At the time that you first saw this patient, did you have any records available from any either Lurie's or Tampa General?
No.
Okay. Why were you concerned about the ketamine doses that Dr. Hanna described to you?
Ketamine can have numerous side effects. She had already had a history of elevated liver enzymes, I believe, in the past, and then she was getting these large doses of ketamine. Ketamine is also what is called an NMDA receptor antagonist. And in developing brains, it has been shown to potentially cause brain cell death and brain damage. So that, along with the reported magnesium that she was getting and the large doses, very large doses of dextromethorphan that she was receiving, all were NMDA receptor antagonists. So our concern was the potential impact it may have on her brain.
We talked earlier about the about conversion disorder and patients have feeling pain and not necessarily telling them that it's in your head or they're faking it. Mm-hmm. Do you, in the treatment of these chronic pain syndromes in pediatric patients, do you folks take their complaints of pain seriously?
Yes, we always believe our patients. That's what I tell them when I first meet them, that we believe that we believe their pain is real.
Was there ever any point that you're aware of at which Maya Kowalski was told that it's all in your head or it's fake?
Nothing that I ever said to her.
Okay. And were you ever aware of her being told that her mother had put her in a coma or was in a psych ward?
No.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Mr. Anderson?
Do you agree or disagree that the Kowalskis knew what was best for their own daughter's treatment?
I'm not sure I understand.
Good argument, Jeff.
Overall. Do you agree or disagree that Jack and Viata Kowalski knew what was best for their own child's medical treatment?
Well, I think that after reviewing the medical records and realizing that several other institutions shared with them the diagnoses.
Objection. Go ahead.
Shared with them the diagnoses, included conversion disorder, and that the treatment was psychology, CBT, PT, and OT, and yet they continued to seek aggressive interventions was very concerning to me.
So the answer is, if I'm understanding you, correct me if I'm wrong, you think you and Johns Hopkins know better than the Kowalskis how they should have their own child treated. Is that true?
That is not what I said.
Okay. I'm going to sustain the objection.
I have concerns.
Same objection, Your Honor.
Okay, we understand objections. The question is, as between the Kowalskis themselves and Johns Hopkins, who had the right to make the ultimate decision on how they treated their daughter?
Objection, Your Honor. Argumentative, calls for legal conclusion.
Sustained.
On legal people. Did you believe you knew better than the Kowalskis on how to treat their own daughter?
Argumentative, Jeff.
I'm going to sustain the ask and answer, so how about that?
And so, was it true and is it true that the Kowalskis had the right under the Johns Hopkins' own patient statement of right to reject your treatment?
They certainly could.
Anything further, Mr. Hunter?
No, sir, Your Honor. Not at this time.
Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information.
All rise. Doors exit.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.